Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence and your word of truth at this hour, knowing that the Holy Spirit is in direct proportion to the revealed word of the hour, the word in you being one. And we receive that with joy, and knowing, of course, that we believe by faith in you that we are a part of that, those people who are to receive, having believed, and not of those who have rejected, and therefore have rejected you. We thank you, Lord, that we can take our stand this morning on grounds of what is truly scriptural and given to us by a vindicated prophet. And we trust, Lord, our lives should become more and more full of the Holy Spirit by reason of more and more fullness of that word, even as a group here, not just as individuals, because we know the bride made of many members. Each one then will have that proportion. Did you give that measure, Lord, in bringing us up right to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Lamb, can come on down with that bride and actually set up that kingdom on earth in a great temple worship where we further go on into the things of the Lord and progress richly and deep into that, Lord, that you have prepared for this. And we know, Lord, these are not vague ramblings of people's minds, but we know this is absolutely proven to be of you because we have that vindicated word of thus saith the Lord. We give you glory this morning, and we pray, Lord, it shall not only be in words, but in deed also. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Before we get into the message, I hope you caught I was ribbing Dave a bit because, you know, Dave knows we said Moses had the 80th year to make good, and he was hoping I'd be here for another 40 years to make good. Well, I wasn't about to receive 40 more years, even the most congratulatory and commendable way anybody could possibly hand it to me. 40 years is... You got two 40s, that's about time for deliverance, I would say. Yeah, there should be. Absolutely, surely. So I want you to know that. I was just teasing him. And I want you to know how he meant it. He meant it real complimentary and very, very nice of him to say that. Now, this morning we're on number 22 of leadership. And as we continue to study this message, we must continue to realize that we are not simply talking about a man with a great ministry and admiring that ministry, which is evidently from God, because things are being done that only God can do. We must realize and accept that the ministry of power in William Branham's life is an exact parallel to also a resurgence of that which God had when God was in the tabernacle we call Jesus, wherein all the works that were done caused the people to realize that those works were coming from God and were not the works of a man, even though a man was giving the word and telling them about them. The next step is to realize that that ministry of power is God's way of attracting the people to the word, which he now desires to give to the people through the prophet, who is ministering those acts of power. Man must first see the works of God in order to stand still and hear the word of God. In other words, it's a signpost pointing to the word. God in this day anointed his prophet, and God himself performed the works, and God himself brought forth his own word, and all was done according to Deuteronomy 18, which is God dealing with the people through the prophet. And it's the only way that God can do that. Now, you'll notice that man has broken his covenant. Man was so happy. And remember, the Gentiles are supposed to agree with everything of the Old Testament because the Gentiles, who are called Christians, believe that they actually are the same seed of God that Israel was. But Israel, of course, believed in prophets, and they accepted their prophets until the time of Jesus. Now, we have prophets today, and as Israel rejected that prophet, the Gentiles have received reformers, great ministers, great men of God. But unfortunately, they reject the end-time prophet, rejecting God himself, this Lord who said, "He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receives the Father who sent me." So, all right, the next and last thing is to realize that in majority, the message is rejected, and only a bare minority, likened unto the eight people in the ark, are elected or chosen to see it. The mighty acts of God are only, now remember this positively, the mighty acts of God that you see that designate the prophet and the word and the signs pointing to the word, the mighty acts of God are only a temporary and unduplicated ministry, and is a sign of the word to follow. A true prophet of the word is always followed by the false, as seen in Deuteronomy chapter 13, because there can be no counterfeit unless there is a genuine. If there hasn't been a genuine, you cannot have a counterfeit. So you must not ever confuse counterfeit with genuine. And especially we see Balaam rising up. No more on the word than nothing. No more a part of God than nothing. And yet his prophecy is still being filled today. And remember, Brother Branham preached on the anointed ones of the end time. So this is what Brother Branham was trying to get over to the full gospel businessmen who have attempted to take over leadership for God by taking it away from or making the fivefold ministry subservient to them. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And all it has caused is further organization and last day final impetus to bring all the daughters back to the mother harlot in Rome. But even more tragic is the fact that many who loved and believed Brother Branham have already left and are leaving and will continue to leave the living word to go back to the chaff. The chaff has no life in it. It's not even commendable for fertilizer. Now, I know enough about livestock to know that cattle, especially cows, will enjoy the chaff of oats. They can, even they're hungry enough, they can nibble on chaff, but they don't like wheat chaff. They'll prefer oat straw to wheat straw, and the Bible speaks of wheat. And I remember our cows, they go up there to the stacks. They had to wheat stacks, and they would chomp on it because it meant food besides what we gave them certain times per day. But it didn't do them much good. Actually, you could find them almost choking on it. There's no genuine life in it, but the oat wasn't so bad. So here you're looking at a people who are going back to that which is entirely dead. As Brother Branham said, there is no life outside of this message, which meant that any message that was in any way contrary to, now even though derived of, it doesn't have to be contrary to it. You can take hundreds of topics literally from what Brother Branham said, and you can search the scripture and preach many fine sermons, which many men are preaching. But you cannot change that word one iota, because one word off after the opening of the seven seals or going back is absolute death. Now remember the foolish virgin. They never had any oil in their lamps. Now the reason was the oil had leaked out. I'd have never looked that phrase up in the scripture to see just exactly where it could lead to. It might lead to the fact that it was used up. It was all used up. All the oil that was in Rome was completely used up and went into total darkness when Luther came out. And there could not be one Roman Catholic saved. In my understanding of the Word of God, there could not be one from that time on who did not come to understand justification. And that went on for a long time. And the light moved on into Wesley. And if there wasn't a moving on with that light, that word that was in Rome died, the word that was in Luther died, then as the light went on to Pentecost. Remember, Pentecost was a restoration of gifts and the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which is what you must have. You must have the water, blood, and spirit there. So therefore, we find the life now has gone out of Pentecost. And remember that what was the age of the gifts. Now, don't think for one minute that the life of the truth of justification itself ever ceased. That truth never did cease. It was that the people who went to it organized. And therefore, it could no longer hold any oil that came future because they said, this is it, that's it. You understand what I'm saying? The next thing was Methodism. Now, they had the word that held the oil. But as soon as they organized, and Wesley understood and preached it, that Methodism would be simply a vacant term, for the dove had fled. He mentions that. Leaving only the residue that you knew the doves were there. In other words, manure, just like Paul said. He said, my religion's manure. Wesley knew that there'd come a day when Methodism would be manure. Try to tell that to the Methodists. Now take a chance with the Pentecostals. Now, Methodism could not hold the oil which would come into that word. They never had it. In other words, the vessels, there's no way you could put it in there. When you try to do it, Jesus said, it's like putting new wine in old bottles. It's putting a patch on an old garment. Forget it. The wine is wasted, and the patch is wasted. Won't do you any good. Nobody's saying the new patch isn't the new patch. Nobody's saying that the wine isn't the wine. You understand? That's how you can be anointed in Pentecost. With the Holy Ghost. Doesn't mean a thing. No, not a thing. Because it's useless. So all right, in Pentecost, they had the restoration of the gifts, the truth of baptism with the Holy Ghost. William Branham comes on the scene, the vindicated prophet. Turn the thumbs down. Now, the word for that hour is gone. They have no way to contain the oil. Burst the bags. And if you think it doesn't burst the bags, what happens to the Pentecostals in the Great Tribulation if that doesn't burst the bags? The fire come down in destruction. Who's going to scream, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb? You think they don't know who's coming against them? If you don't, then John messed up here. They're going to gnaw their tongues in pain and curse God. What better people to curse God than the Pentecostals who believe they had it all? Maybe some Branhamites thrown in there too. They'd be even worse. Because they went back to Pentecost. Now, I've always admired a certain man, although we always were at edge with each other. But I always told my wife, I couldn't have respect and love for him because I knew he loved the prophet. He had great faith in the prophet. When his mother was dying of cancer or some such disease, he knew getting to the prophet would be the answer. It was. Where is he today? Back in Pentecost, he's remarried. His wife prophesying for 4 hours. Dribble. Nonsense. Junk. Nothing coming to pass. The minute anything breaks forth in that church which would glorify God with the word and uphold God's prophet, some female whirls in the aisle and dances up on the platform, prophesies again. He stands for it all and endorses it. Now you wonder why I hang tough and why I preach the way I do? Old sourpuss, cruddy veil, hates everybody, not if I ain't got no love. Well, I'm sanctified unto something. Set apart somewhere. And if you want their cheesy love, you can have it. I don't want it. Because there's no such thing as men and women loving God until their hearts are thoroughly circumcised. Deuteronomy 30:6. and the re-given word of God that led to Joshua a special time of grace, which is the Alpha of our day today. If you haven't got a circumcised heart of all unbelief, so that you can talk this word and never, ever talk again of the past, renalize death and the creeds and the dogmas, anything contrary to the prophet, you're not ready, you're not going. I'm telling you flat. That's thus saith the Lord. I read it right out of here. That's thus saith God. There it is right there, pillar fire of God's prophet. Oh, well, he boo-booed. If he boo-booed, you're a miscarriage. I'm not nasty, I'm just forthright. And I got news here. God's going to make more of it than I'm making of it. And I wouldn't want to be in the condemnation for 15 seconds they're going into. What the people fail to see is what Brother Branham tells us in paragraph 192 on page 28, where we left off, so we read it and start over again. And he says here, 192:28, and any message that's come in, that's come by, a genuine born message now of God, is different from the old trend. Now he's talking about a great healing revival. And he says, when a divine healing went forth, not long ago, starting in 1946, did you notice how the impersonators followed it? And every one of them went right into those organizations, staying there. That's the impersonators. Now, what about those that genuinely love Brother Branham? Genuinely knew by association that he was real. What about them? Have you forgotten what I told you? The actual literal translation, interpretation of Judas kissing Jesus? It says he affectionately kissed him. Anyone hanged himself because he shed innocent blood, betrayed innocent blood. Those are the men in my books who truly crucify again the Son of God unto themselves. Does anyone know that there had to be a message follow that? Why, God doesn't entertain us. He attracts our attention with something. And this way, this is the dynamic works that no man can do, backed up by thus saith the Lord. And when he's got our attention, then he's got his message for us. Now, you know that's exactly what happened in the third chapter of Acts, second chapter of Acts, and right on down through, where Paul preaches his own vindication. The miracle ministry, because Paul said, I never came to you simply with words of man's wisdom. And the greatest wisdom man can have is to get it from God, and perchance, somebody might get wisdom from God. But you know, Paul proved he had the wisdom of God by his vindication. He said, I came in the power of the Holy Ghost, and that word is dunamis. Look, when he was first come on earth here, now you notice that that word first come is just like Peter said. God raised up Jesus to you first. Why would he say God raised up Jesus to you first if there's not maybe a second, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, tens? If he raised him up first, then there's got to be at least a second. Huh? And that's right. God has raised up Jesus to us in the reality of though he was not dead and then raised his body, he literally raised him from the dead churches and the dead creeds and dogmas by the tremendous ministry that God had in Jesus repeating itself in this hour, proving that God raised our man, our brother, from the dead, and he is now actually the physical headship of the church, just simply waiting on the Father's throne. When you're on the throne, you're the top man. For God to put everything under his feet, he'll take absolute, complete, and perfect charge. So he says in here, when he came first on earth. Now, we all know that the ministry that Jesus had was not of Jesus. This is the thing that bugs everybody, the Jesus-only bunch and all the Branhamites that are going from Trinity to Jesus-only. They don't have much of a clue. Okay? Well, we're talking about the ministry. We're talking about Jesus' reception at the same time according to the ministry and not according to anything else. Right? Well, certainly. He's just a big mouth about a ministry. So Jesus came with that ministry, and that ministry is identified as not his ministry, because Jesus, any more than you and I, did not have a ministry, except God gave it to him and God was in it. Because there's God in you, both willing and doing of his good pleasure. And you can't find one place in the Word of God where Jesus ever acted independently. But when he came down here to live amongst men and teach us as we were never taught before, he said, "My Father shows me these things that I do, and he tells me these things I say, and he will show me greater things." Well, what are you going to do about it? I'll make him God. Not God. He's not God. So when it boils down to reality, we're talking about when he first came on earth. We're talking about this particular ministry of God dealing with people. Watch, he's doing it en masse, and God himself is doing it in a person. Right back in Moses' day, but even greater. But it always goes back to God himself. When he first came on earth, started the ministry. Now we go back only 2,000 years, and there's to be the Omega of this hour, because in the very same breath that Jesus is talked of being the deliverer of Israel, and he's going to become Prince of Peace, which he isn't. He said, "I'm going to bring the sword." He's not Prince of Peace. No, until he comes and brings his own peace. No way. I don't even see him as the mighty God for 1 minute until that spirit is reincarnated. And he's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Son of God, Son of David, Son of Man. But only on the conditions that are laid out in this word, we don't get them all mixed up and messed up. Now remember, the Omega to this is God himself coming to the Gentiles as the Holy Spirit. His voice is not heard in the street. He's not chiding or rousing enmity amongst people or anything else. The bruised reed he doesn't break, the smoking flax he doesn't quench, his voice is not heard in the street. He doesn't contend. He did it all back there. But wherein he closed it off entirely, he opens us up under the seventh seal to the Roman candle experience. Right? Time and eternity blending. Into the millennium. Now, if you want to dance in the aisles, you can, but don't come up here and prophesy. Nothing against people being emotional. Just don't bring your tripe and junk with me over the emotional crud that's dead. Like the vultures, they have a ball over the roadkill. God doesn't even endorse fresh roadkill. The eagle goes out and gets his own. So, all right. When he's first come on the earth here, started his ministry, Alpha, and the Omega is going to be the same. Oh, young rabbi. Oh, young William Branham. We want you over here in our church. Come on down here. That's to the young prophet. We want you over here. Come on here. But one day he stood up and said, I and my Father are one. Oh my, he makes himself God. Again, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He's a vampire. We'll have nothing to do with that. Now, in reading that, together which I have, I want you to notice here, immediately and emphatically, that Brother Branham's comments, oh my, he makes himself God, he's a vampire, we'll have nothing to do with that. Eat flesh and blood, that's cannibal. He mentioned the cannibals. We note immediately and emphatically that Brother Branham's comments are stating the people's reaction to the word, the unbelievers, and what they thought or believed that those words would mean to them, rather than he is going to give a revelation to us at what he really means. Now, taking time, which we always do, because the only way to ever learn anything is by repetition, saying it over and over and over, especially if you say the right thing. So we go to Corinthians, the first book, and the second chapter, going into 9 to 11, about 14, but as it's written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them to love him. But God hath revealed them unto by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now you notice in there that the Spirit is put between the soul and the human body and all its ramifications. And it plays a great part of intelligence between the two of them. So that actually your spirit will begin to feed your soul and bring down to your soul every single thing that your mind begins to anticipate and meditate upon. Then that will be which you ingest. It's utterly ridiculous for anybody to think that our souls can be made fat and we can be liberated, the true children of God, for the Exodus without constantly feeding our soul the revealed word of Almighty God. So there is a connection there, as Brother Branham said, body, spirit, soul. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, you only have the spirit of man, you'll get exactly what the eye perceives according to human intelligence rather than real, unadulterated truth. Now, he says here, now we've received not the spirit of the world. Now, we've already had a spirit allowed of God, but there's something else coming on the scene. And this is involved because Brother Branham said, we receive a spirit from God, not the spirit of God, on top of the spirit we already allowed of God. Whether that's simply an atmosphere or some animation within itself, I don't have the answers. I don't even need them. I just have to believe that. And that allows us, permits us, helps us to be in position whereby we can receive the Holy Spirit. Now, particularly in this day, I can see in there that very specifically, because to be baptized with the Holy Ghost today is to pile word upon word upon word. And the day that people would certainly have to have a spirit given by God and from God to open any single person up in this hour to that word in which the Holy Spirit is, and piling word upon word will finally fill you with the Holy Ghost. You understand? It's not a spirit of the world. It's a spirit of God. All right, on top of that comes the true baptism which we talk about, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things we also speak not in words as man's wisdom teaches, which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, They're simply foolish to him. And if he tries to do anything with it, it'll be foolish. Are you listening? How many times have I told you what's being preached in pulpits? And I'm the mean guy that has no sanctification, no love, and no Holy Ghost? Remember I told you the time this fella came in my meeting Westminster and he saw me discerning, which I should not have been doing, casting no devils, which I did, laying hands on the sick and they were healed. He came up later on, he said, "By what authority do you do that?" Right away I caught his spirit and I said, "Tell me, you believe in this, don't you?" "Yes, sir." "Have you the authority to do it?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Can you do it?" He said, "No." I said, "Great. Here stands a man who has no authority can do it. You've got the authority and can't. What gives?" Out. This is my soapbox drop dead. See, Brother Bailey, you're mean. I mean, come on. That's not mean. Merciful God, am I supposed to be some stupid sop to say, "Well, I'll help you"? Let me tell you something. God helps Satan. Because Satan doesn't have a life outside of the one that God created. Satan doesn't have any power outside of what God let him have. Satan doesn't have any word at all, not one word. Even go, come, live, die. He's only got God's word, and everything becomes a perversion. And God has warned you and me, watch out for that kind of stuff, because I'm sovereign, I've allowed this. And even though he were a son, he was tested. And you and I got to understand, we don't fool with perversion. We don't help it. We don't want it. We're not interested. How can I possibly scatter for God while I'm scattering with the devil? Harvest for God, reap and garner. If I'm doing for him. Now remember, every single thing is here is of God. There is nothing that is not of God. Let me tell you flat, there is nothing. But it's what people do with it. See? I have no kith and kin with that stuff whatsoever. I am not a part of it. Neither will I be. Now the Bible speaks of this foolishness at the end time, where their folly will be manifested. And the folly is true. What the false prophets are teaching and the false teachers are teaching, and they've gone right back to gifts and left the word for it. Now, whether you do it because you do it for a woman, which in this case this guy did, although he always was interested in these peripherals, I don't care how you do, but I'm going to tell you something. The folly is manifested. Now, what does it mean, is manifested? It's brought right into light. I don't care how true that they can discern. Whoever discerns is trying to duplicate an unduplicatable ministry and proves that he's a phony. I shouldn't have to raise my voice to say it, because my emphasis doesn't add one thing or take one thing from the Word of God. I want you to know Brother Branham's ministry cannot be duplicated. If it can be duplicated, then there can be another revival. Then there can be another word. Keep your finger there and go to Hebrews 6. I don't know what in the world I'm doing this for this morning, but I'm doing it anyway. So likely I hope somebody gets some good out of it. Hebrews 6, it says, "Therefore, leaving the principle of the Logos of Christ," God himself coming down, the anointer, being the anointing, indwelling a man, let's go to perfection. Perfection means the conclusion of the whole matter of this where God started to become flesh and became flesh, and that's in the last church age, Revelation 3, the beginning of the creation of God, God creating himself in human flesh. So that's for this hour, right? Well, thank you. It's kind of a, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Amen. That's all right. Just keep listening. He said, we're going to conclusion. We're going to polish the whole thing off. Now, hold your finger there. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 10. When God comes down in verse 1, and go to verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh church age ministry, William Branham, the Elijah of this hour, when he shall begin to sound the mystery, as God hath declared through his prophets in the Gospels, is going to be finished. So the seventh church age runs out at that time. The mystery of the gospel is finished. Amen. The God who started creating himself way back there, as I showed you, the becoming God and the crucified word, we were down there in Houston, which people don't understand, never will understand. There's no way, because they don't believe what the prophet said, whereas I do. And I do. What he said, I take. Now that God in Revelation 3 is the God of truth, the God of the Amen. There isn't any more truth. This is it. The capstone's on it. Amen. Sealed off. And when the seals are open, that's the sealing of the church by headship, God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit, starting to bring everything under the feet of Jesus, getting us ready for the resurrection, the transformation, and the rapture, the wedding supper, 3.5 years and coming back. Now, Paul says over here categorically in Hebrews 6, we want to leave that. And when you leave it, of necessity, you're coming to the end of every single doctrine that has been written in the Bible. And you can take it, laying on of hands, resurrection of dead, eternal judgment. Every single thing has been preached. Everything concerning the time that God became flesh. And this we will do if God permit. In other words, the whole thing is completely finished off. And Paul said, I'd like to do it, but I can't do it. All right, let's find out when he can do it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he tells you, love never fails. We're talking about the Holy Ghost now. God never fails. You've got prophecies, they're going to fail. And remember, these prophecies are right there with tongues. Huh? Yeah. When was prophecy, this word of God given, vindicated through tongues? Forget it. Only Hebrews 8, I beg your pardon, Deuteronomy 18, vindication alone, gives anyone the right to speak for God. And even that man doesn't have the right. God just reached out and cabbaged him from eternity and said, you're it. Now open your mouth. And don't stand back or I'm going to slug you. Get up like a man. Open your mouth. And I'll fill it. Now, you say, what about the fact God doesn't just put words in a man's mouth, he uses visions? Let me tell you something. The prophet's got perfect recall. The prophet could even tell you your dream where you missed it. William Branham, I saw him do it. He said, stop, I'll tell you. All right. When you're talking about love never failing, you're talking about God never failing, but you're talking about gifts of the Holy Ghost failing. Huh? Oh, come on. I didn't say that love was the Holy Ghost. William Branham did. But I'm the guy that understood it when I said, Brother Branham, though he said it, never clarified it. God is always in threes.
Where do you get three out of omniscience and omnipotence? You don't. And he's not omnipresent. And I breathed him out. Well, that took care of God, right? Wave my arm, wave to God. Don't be asses. Spiritual dopes. Leave your state of former adulteries and get up to men and women in the adoption. He tells you, these fail. They're going to cease. The gifts will vanish. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Now, Paul is not talking about them. He's talking about himself. He's the one that does it. He said, when that which is perfect is come, and Brother Branham said, what is perfect but God, and who is God but the Word, and by His grace we have the perfect interpretation for the Word in this hour. So therefore, absolutely, we have the complete revelation of God through the Spirit of wisdom coming into the church, preparing the church, getting them away from their creeds and dogmas, so they understand in perfection the mysteries of the gospel, which prepare them for the rapture. Now, brother, sister, unless you can talk with a new tongue this morning, and I can talk with a new tongue this morning, but the same English language from the same English-speaking prophet, we've still got our own rotten, uncircumcised, filthy tongues of blasphemy against God and rebellion against the Most High. And we are traitors to everything that the prophet brought us, and we say we believe. And God's record of us is not a smiling record as we talk to each other. And He makes note. For we fear His name, we talk His word. And He said, I'm making a book of remembrance, and they're going to be part of my crown. You'll be a part of His frown, not crown. Destroyed in His presence. Now Paul said, I was a child, I spake as a child, thought as a child, I became a man. They couldn't even understand anything about Melchizedek. Believe it or not, William Branham's the only man that had the true revelation. And when that revelation was brought forth under the seventh seal, part of the seven seals, the church was ready for adoption and manhood, whether it believed it or not, and you're back there speaking in tongues and cutting a rug. Acting foolish. For Paul says, now we see through a glass darkly. You Corinthians, we see through a glass darkly. You got your problems, you know in part. But one day it's going to be face to face and know even as we are known. So now listen, there abides faith, hope, and love. Now remember, faith is something that you must use in order to look forward to something. It's a substanting, the giving of evidence, the giving of substance. And that's good. But hope is earnest expectation. But I've got a word about hope. The Bible says what a man seeth that he had hope for. So everybody expecting the appearing, it's here. Well, why did he expect it? Woman's got her baby. It's already. How many years since the seals opened? Brother Branham died 29 years. She's got a 29-year-old boy. She says, I'm waiting for my baby. Well, who's this? Well, what do you mean? She can't recognize what she's had. She's insane. Brother Branham said, the whole world's insane. And I've certainly approved of that testimony with great vigor and zeal. Why do you hope for what you see? There it is on the wall. That picture. Flame of fire or a vindicated prophet's head. The word of God brought to us at this point. What do you hope for? Headship is here, love. We never, brother, sister, come to the place of love. We come to the place of brotherly kindness at the end time. The fish hooks on our elbows. Slightly nasty, don't you know?
We're not like the British. Excuse me, love. Excuse me, love.
Out of my way, Bert. I'm a Yankee.
I know. I was in England years ago. They're so sweet. I couldn't believe I was in Sugar Hill with gumdrop kids. Just thought it. Were they that way when you were there recently? My, I want to tell you, good manners are marvelous. Even if you don't mean it. No, it's nice to be nice. I have nothing against it, and I'm all for it. But headship is here. Now, we had our fingers over here in 6th chapter of Hebrews. We were reading, after all this ministry of Christ runs out through the gospel, what God did, having come down in flesh to absolutely bring his bride to a place. Remember, Messiah means deliverer. So, who is Messiah? God. Jesus means Jehovah Savior. So God is Messiah. And Messiah lived in a body for a while. Believe me, the rock that followed them was not Jesus the man. Jesus is a man. You know, Jesus, how could be a man? Let me see now. He was up there and he came out of God and he's been, hold it. Now, that's really confusing. He came out of God. Oh, man alive now. He must be God. No, he ain't God. He came out of God. He's the first begotten. In thee, I'm starting my lineage, my generations. Yeah. He didn't live to have generations, but he saw him anyway in a seed. Huh? Amen. Yeah, he led some forth with his own rising. He's going to lead some more forth by his shout. By the voice, rather. So, here's this light here. He's a man. He's a son of God. He's God life. That life is God's substance. And that life substance went into a man. If it didn't, then I'm all screwed up in everything the prophet or God's word or science teaches. Because a horse is 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 a horse 6,000 years, maybe 60,000 years. And a dog is a dog is a dog is a dog is a... Oops, turned into a cat. Sorry. A cat is a dog and a dog is a cat. Where in the world am I standing at? Forget it. You're confused. Now we got Humpty Dumpty sat in the wall. Who's going to put it together? Now, listen, let me tell you something. The manifestation of this light, right? Huh? The man say that light, the Son of God. What did it take on himself? It took on himself of the seed of Abraham, the form of man. He became flesh. When he was translated into or transfigured according to the genes within him, it went to man, right? When Adam breathed, God breathed Adam the breath of life, he became a living soul, the propagator of you from God via the soul, the gene of God. You were in your father. Now, I can name some names here, I guess, and nobody would get hurt by it because it wouldn't be hurtful at all. But I can just name myself. I was in God before I was in my father, and the less I know about him, the better, because everything I know about him isn't too pleasant. And I think maybe John McCrae's dad was a bit of a booze hound. Fabulous cook, but all his cooking was for the devil. And if John expects to meet his dad, he'll have to meet as a foolish virgin, but I doubt if you'll see him anymore, and I doubt I'm going to see my relatives. But where were you, Brother John? In your father's loins. He picked it out of the air. Then Brother Branham lied.
Because if A equal B and B equal C, A is equal to C, and they're all B, A, B, C, right? Provided we're talking apples, 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 horses, 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 peanuts, peanuts, peanuts. Huh? You don't have to have a great education, what I'm saying. Just have to believe. Get away from your stupidity that's compounding all your problems, aches and pains, and your symptoms of unrest. He said, this will do if God permit, and God did not permit. Because what was supposed to happen at the end time? At the end time, something sets in where nothing will take place any longer. The gospel has run its course. And it goes like a flash of light to the Gentiles, a blinding flash. An epiphany. For it's impossible for those who were enlightened once and for all and have tasted the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God, even the powers of the world to come, having fallen away. It says they'll see all of this. They'll enter into it. They'll taste it. They'll be a part of it. But it doesn't say they're a part of God. It just says enlightenment will come. A taste will come. They'll partake a little bit. They'll taste the word of God. In other words, all of these things will be manifested. And they stand right there and have to do it. They're not done in the corner. And they blow it. Do you realize in Brother Branham's ministry, he actually saw part of the millennium? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, shut up. Huh? I think you will vomit with me. First of all, vomit your own unbelief out of your system. It says they will taste the powers of the world to come. Well, how about go? We didn't beat that. What was it before? What? Well, what, isn't God here? And if you got God, haven't you got everything that was and is to be? Having fallen away, they'll never have their minds changed. Everything their human body sees and represents, they'll turn away, and to themselves they'll crucify the Son of God. And they'll be screaming the loudest. If I'd been there that day on Golgotha, I would not have crucified him. Brother Brand said, you're the very guys that would have done it. Yeah. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it. How often is often? Seven times, because he's talking about completion. Right? Completion is perfection, which is seven. Now, don't talk about perfection in three, which is God. I'm talking about two different things here. The word perfect in the Bible absolutely means finished, conclusion, polished off. Can't scratch it, can't add to it. If a drop of wax went on it, forget it, it's not right. If you scratch it, it's not right. But this fellow I'm talking about, he's got his church. They're saying 999, and the nine were going to shine, and there's a word coming. 999. Auch Neinstein. Sounds like the brain. That's not a drunken party at Belshazzar's feast. I've never heard of one. Now, I can be pretty sarcastic, and I am. And I can rhyme and make doggerel in a hurry, and I do it for one purpose, to be cutting, incisive and mean with my cuts. I use a serrated sword. Because I've been preaching for years, and the best that people say, leave there, preaches to God. They hear nothing. They heard nothing in Toronto. Except for a few people like Brother Palmer. They're listening to Jesus only, fella. And Brother Branham said he wasn't one of them. It's all right. Might as well be the skunk at a garden party, anyway. seven messages, and the end one closes them off. And the seventh one, when all this great thing happens, which will include the resurrection, it has to, because the one with the shout is the voice, is the trumpet. It says the earth, that's you and me, dirt, cared for by God. We're God's husbandry. We're God's dirt. We're his farms. We'll receive blessing from God, right hand, or left hand cursing upon thorns and briars. 2 Thessalonians. Beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, though we thus speak. He said, listen, that's down here for us. He said, these folk don't have a thing to do with it. I wish they did, but they don't. He said, then I'd be there with them in the first resurrection. I'm apprehended for it. I want to make sure I'll be a part of it. But he said, look, looks like it's going to be a bad thing here. There's going to be a judgment. Now, that's what we saw right here in this first chapter, 2 Corinthians. So we're going to keep going now. Now, look at it. In verse 9, it's written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared them to love him. Now, it tells you that. Now, what is the trouble? The trouble is the eye cannot see, the ear cannot hear, and the heart cannot understand. Or better still, the heart cannot receive it. He's telling you here, your natural eye, you'll never see it. Natural ear, will never hear it. The natural heart can never take it. Even if you are a child of Almighty God, there is no way of yourself, by yourself, there is no way that you can know these things and apprehend them. In other words, your knowledge will not be the knowledge of God, so therefore, you will not have faith for the apprehension of that. They will have faith for the apprehension of that which is not a God. So when they talk about appearance being the rapture, that is not a God. And all their faith falls vain and void, because they have neither eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive it. The heart is uncircumcised. But watch what comes on the scene. But God hath revealed them unto us, Paul using the plurals, unto him. And the apostles, some of them, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God? Man said, the spirit of man is in. Now he's making a little analogy here, a comparison. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, you're fully man. Don't expect to know the things of God. Forget it. You got to trust God for this and get yourself out of the way. Now, said Paul, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things of God that are freely given to us. Now you can know them. The next thing is to believe and apprehend. Now watch what he says. Which things we also speak not in words as man's wisdom teaches. The Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual to spiritual. He doesn't compare carnal to carnal. He goes right to the spiritual. And you cannot depend upon your senses or your reasoning for one split second. Everything with God is thus saith the Lord. And if it's entirely opposite, everything you see, hear, taste, smell, and reason, no matter what, or you think you hear, throw it out of your way. Bring every thought into obedience to the word of God which has been vindicated. Every thought into captivity. The natural man cannot receive it. It's only foolishness. Ends up as foolishness. So if these people are going back to Pentecost, they never had eyes in the first place, ears in the second place, heart in the third place. Come on, let's face it. They never had it. I never heard of a sheep going back to his vomit. I never heard of a dove going back to a wallow. Have you? Perhaps you have, then I'm interested to know about it. I'm interested to know about it. I'd like to see who's getting fooled of what a sheep is and a dove is. I would think you got mixed up with goats. And maybe crow. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. What's the things of the Spirit of God? Those things? The true revelation that lies in God, which he has there as promises for us. The things that belong to us. according to God himself. And when God took care of the past three ages, remember, we may be still in Laodicea, but we're not a part of it. Any more than Moses was when he was down there against his own will. He had to wake the whole thing up. So, all right, they have ears, but they can't hear it. They got a heart that cannot receive it because it's uncircumcised. God has to reveal it. Only God knows what he is saying, and therefore, he is his own prophet and interpreter. And anybody that says different's a liar. Anybody says, I'm a prophet, I will tell you. I say, you are not a prophet unless you're a false prophet and you are a liar and you're telling me nothing. And if you're a prophetess, there ain't no such animal. How can women prophesy in church and say, sit down, keep quiet, and go home and talk to your husbands?
Right.
See, I was nice, didn't say shut up. I left you to figure that one out. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can see, hear, and receive. He is our teacher, as the Bible tells us. Paul is the prophet who alone has the authority to deliver the revelation so that his spiritual truth or doctrine is set forth by God. He will explain it to them, and then they will see it if they're ordained of God, or they will not see it if they're not ordained of God. And talking about gifts and in church order, remember, Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 14:36, I guess it is 7, and I've read this many, many times, what came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet, think himself. Paul didn't think himself to be a prophet, he was a prophet. Thinking to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write are the commandments of God. And then he says, if a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. That's like the... just pass it on by. All right. Where do we go from here? All right, now then. We go over here to... I'm going to get me all mixed up here. We go over here to what I read just a minute ago now. Brother Branham was not giving us the true spiritual revelation of I and my Father are one. He just told you what the people reacted to and what they said. Then we accept, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you know life in you. Right? We eat and drink the blood, you know life. Their reaction, he's a vampire, he wants us all to be cannibals. Okay. So, we go on now. Now then, both the fact of Jesus' oneness with God and eating his flesh and blood are also spiritually discerned, as is everything else. And so is this oneness with God that Brother Branham speaks of here in paragraph 194 and 195. So, okay, let's take I and my Father are one to begin with. How many minutes? 30? 25. I should let you off the hook and just walk around and enjoy yourselves or see what we can do. Well, 25 minutes is too long a time. So, maybe not for you, but I got to cover this within the next 20 years. 40 years, right, Dave? 40 years. 40 years. So we go to John 10, and we start at verse 30 to get a little bit of context in here, which we'll read more later. I and my Father are one. Now, they took up stones to stone him. Now, if this man had been a false prophet, giving signs and wonders to lead them from the word, every right to stone him. Oh, they had a false prophet in their hands right now. Oh, goody, goody gumdrops. This is the first man we had in 400 years. Wow, that we caged ourselves alive. Oh, man, we'll go down in history. This fellow's false. We can tell right now he's false. We'll stone him. Yep. Oh, my, yes. Yeah, that was their reaction. And Jesus said, many good works have I showed you. Watch him just slide this in. You know I'm not the Lord. I wouldn't pretend to. They'd have got a barrage of words from me that would be unprintable. Because not profane necessarily, but so vituperous. And so ready for a battle. I would have likely destroyed myself in doing it. But he just said this. Hey, What about those works? What about them? Now, they knew all about Balaam with his prophecy. And they knew all about Moses with his. And they conveniently forgot. Conveniently forgot. Many good works have I showed you. From my Father, you admit it. For which of these works did he? And the Jews said, for a good work we stone thee not. But thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Oh, I'll read on. Jesus answered and said, is it not written in your law, you are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and that's the prophets, of course, the scripture cannot be broken. Say you of him when the Father has sanctified, absolutely set apart, set his seal on, and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Now there you had him over a barrel again. What about those works? What about those works? What about those works? Well, bless God. We got some gifts in our church too. And I want to tell you, brother so-and-so laid hands on sister so-and-so. And I want to tell you, she got a new kidney. There's no doubt about it, she got a new kidney. I'll tell you that that woman was stiff as a mackerel. And brother so-and-so came in and the people prayed. She rose up. I have no doubt at all. She rose up. I won't argue the point. Yeah, well, we took this woman out of the prison, and I want to tell you, this poor woman, she's raving mad, incensed with everything, and we brought her 3 apples one day, and she said, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I've sinned against thee all, and she was a raving maniac. We went in there, the power of the name of Jesus Christ, deliver her. I don't doubt it at all. I'm telling you things that happened. Don't doubt it at all. Don't doubt it at all. Where's thus saith the Lord? I want to know, see? Don't talk about any scripture if you rest it. And don't talk about any doctrine if you don't have all the scripture. You better get your doctrine right from the Word of God and everything lines up 1, 2, 3, 4, never out of order. If I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought the more to kill him. Not one of them took up the case. Well, let's see if you're right or not. You're the best they could do? Well, we saw those signs, but we'd like to have our own sign, like the Church of Christ said. When Brother Branham went to collect the $10,000 or $1,000, whatever it was, for the miracle done on the girl, they said, well, what we really meant was, we'll cut her and then you heal her. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you do. Oh, he shouldn't have been so unkind. When was the truth ever unkind? Are you unhappy you got warned that the truck didn't kill your baby? You should be very unhappy that the truck didn't kill your baby. I don't understand people. The truth makes you free. Anything else, it hinders you.
That's right. Amen.
And it destroys you. Let a man walk in the truth. That man is the only free man on this earth. Whether anybody believes it or not, I'm telling you the unadulterated truth of Almighty God. All right. We just read Verse 10:30 there, and I and my Father are one, which is what it says. Now there it is. That is the claim, that is the truth, and that is exactly John 14:9. Jesus said, have I been so long with you, and yet hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? And the explanation, of course, is that the Father is doing the works. Now, if you took the context of John 14:9 and went on down there further, you would begin to see that they're pretty well the very same as John says over here in John 10:24-29. Then came the Jews round about and said, how long makest thou to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. I am, he said, the Messiah. I am Christ, the anointed one. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. In other words, how can you accept me when I don't belong to you and you don't belong to me? See, there's no use you trying to get to me and me trying to get to you. Now, here's what my sheep get. They get eternal life, and they shall never perish. Needs any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father's greater than all, greater than me. He is greater, even greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So, all right. That's exactly John 14, how he and the Father are one because the Father is indwelling him. Now, in the Alpha, let's get this straight. They claim Jesus was making himself God. But in the Omega today, we find a few people who make him truly what he is and truly make God, God, because they don't understand the oneness of the Godhead, which is the same as 2,000 years ago, Jesus is a man. The Son of Man was the Son of God. And the Son of Adam, which was Abel, was the Son of God. And the Son of Adam, which was Seth, was the Son of God. And Noah was the Son of God. And David was the Son of God. And right on down the line, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Joel, Zechariah, name all the prophets, everyone a Son of God. Everyone a Son of God, identical to Jesus Christ, the original first, in whom God wanted to bring himself down to the human race and have a family. No difference except in position. And positions evidently sets forth magnitude. He had the Spirit without measure. Moses had the Spirit greater than anybody. Took Spirit off of him, Spirit of God, gave it 70 people. He had more than all 70 together. Don't try to figure the things out, just believe them. He was the Son of God back there. He's still the Son of God today, or something has gone haywire, and he lied. Jesus never claimed that he was God. Under no condition can I find that. How can you make God a mediator, an intercessor, a high priest, when that's a man's job? Can't do it. No way, shape, and form. He has not changed. This one has not changed. Now, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at people today who simply cannot understand that Jesus is not God. They try to make him the rock, Christ, that followed Israel, or the pillar of cloud and fire. You cannot do that because there is no scripture for it. There is no place where Brother Branham authenticated that one Jesus, who was that beloved Son, who led in the worship in the form of Michael with Satan. And Satan was the Son of God by creation. One was Son by birth. Big difference. Who, when the row went on in heaven, Michael came against Satan. We find that in Scripture. Fought him. Fight him again. By this time, Jesus leaves that position in Michael. Whatever position he has in history, we don't know. We don't have to ask and inquire. But that same one, according to Philippians. Now listen carefully. He did not reserve himself the right to be equal with God, which he was as the firstborn son. Nor did he write his name on any check. No. He would at one time come to the place to it. He did not receive his adoption until Mount Transfiguration. Let's get it flat. He was shown what he was. And even then, that was only a glimpse of what was coming, because that wasn't the real one. The real one was when he rose from the dead and ascended and sat at the right hand of the majesty on high. And now he's on the throne of his Father. Jesus is not God. I hate to disillusion you. He's the Son of God. And if you think you're a son of God, you ought to be happy to know that Jesus is the Son of God. As Brother Brand saying, he came just like we did, except he did not bypass a certain form called a spirit or word body. Called it a theophany. Call it what you want. Doesn't matter. He did not bypass it. Plus the fact he had perfect memory where he came from, what he was, and who he's going to be in the future. But there are certain things that Jesus himself did not know. When he said, he will show me greater things than these, he was telling you flat, there's certain things I don't know, but I'm going to be shown. Because I'm the prophet. And I'm a Messiah only by virtue of the fact that God himself indwelt me. I'm only the healer by virtue of the fact that God was doing it inside of me. I'm only telling you what's true only by virtue of the fact that God is inside me doing it. The Bible distinctly said, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by suffering. I wonder if the first step in suffering was leaving the glory. Because he certainly talked to his father about it and said, I'd like to have my glory restored. And he said, not only so, but greater glory. No problem. So if you think that Jesus is God, you got another thought coming because he wasn't omnipotent. He wasn't omniscient. But if love is chasing those scallywags out with a rope, that's love. I like that. The only reason he was love, he did not have what people want to make him. He had essentially from God those very things we talk of. But the essentiality was only from God and proportionate to what God wanted him to have at any given time and for any length of time. So don't ever believe that Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. The Bible tells you how great that Son was because it tells you he was actually the manifestation of the substance of God. In other words, God being spirit. He took that form that absolutely showed God in human form. God is in a physical form. So, all right. 2,000 years ago, they said, you make yourself God. He said, I do not make myself God. I am not God. The rich young man, the very text Brother Branham used here, he said, good master, what must I do to inherit life? And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. Brother Branham categorically said, the flesh was Jesus. But that was the flesh already animated. Huh? Before God came into it. What about you and me? If we were in God, and the gene is in the soul, and that's where the life is. Now, I don't want you to get confused with physical life, because I'm going to tell you the fact right now. That life in there that is spirit has to have some physical medium to work through, and therefore formed himself what you are right now sitting here. Through instrumentality of man and woman. And you can say what you want. Every single son of God outside of Jesus Christ came exactly that way. You say, what about Jesus? He never had male sperm. No way, shape, and form. Used a female. Absolutely. And we can see that by the word of Almighty God. So, all right. He denies that he is God the Son. He emphatically declares on the grounds of vindication that he is a prophet and greater than a prophet because he is that great one. He is the Son of God in whom God himself dwells. So here is the temple of God. A human being, the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, now risen, God actually comes in, takes up his place in the temple, and here he stands before the people. Now you say, what about? Could people have worshipped that? They could have worshipped the God within him, that is true. But they didn't have a clue. Now you and I worship the same God that would come into Brother Branham. How much and for how long, leave that with God, don't ask me. The picture you see right there. Now you don't worship that picture. You only worship the flame of fire. You worship what's beyond it. And you worship God. And you can come to him only through that only begotten Son, because he is the high priest, the mediator, and intercessor, and without him you have nothing. And believe me, he is not asleep. And he's not comatose. And by the way, the word comatose I know does not have a D in it, because it's an adjective, that is true. But I'm going to let you know this, that I make up my own words the same as the Air Force does and everybody else. Right, Joe? Prioritize, find the Bible. OK? Can't find prioritize in the Bible. Facilitize? Can't find it. What about the word exegeticize? Can't find it. If I make up my own word, I say exegeted. And you know what? A big scholar backs me up. So I use the word comatose. Like they say, the person is washed. Person comatose. I shouldn't do it, perhaps. He's in the state of a coma. So I'm telling you, you know this, because you'll see this thing printed up and what have you. You'll find my words. I don't run true to everything that's in the book. Maybe Dave and some of you folk here smart with your degrees. Not saying you're smart, but I mean you're better educated. But the point is, I use my own little thingy, Bob, like the world does. So, all right. The thing is, I just threw that into language because I was closing off here. I want you to know here that Jesus did not say that he was God the Son. At no time did he say he was the Father. He said, I and my Father are one. He did not say for 1 minute, let's get this flat. We're only using this as an office. There's just one person. And that Father is now the Son. And I'm standing here in my office as Son. That takes care of everything. That eliminates the Father. So don't think of the Father while there's the Son. Now when you get the Son, forget the Father, get the Father, forget the Son. That is a lie, and it's not in the Bible. You better believe and trust in that Son of God right now. Because he, according to his own word, never saw and heard what God was going to do until God himself came down and worked through that prophet. And you know what? I believe right now he's watching and waiting. Step by step, everything put under his feet. All clear. The dead are going to come forth. Whatever bride is here will be changed, caught up to the wedding supper. And he will be waiting there to be incarnated. And at that particular time, right at this minute, I do not believe that Jesus knows. That is the man himself. Now, I could be speaking out of turn, but as far as I'm linking this whole thing to what he himself said in his own word, and he is the Son of God. He's not God the Son. He's an absolute being. He's our mediator and everything else. I believe he does not even know the minute he's going to come back, reincarnated with the bride. Brother Branham himself said, go back to your seals on the second coming. The Son himself did not know. So what you're looking at then is right 2,000 years ago, they grossly misinterpreted the very word of God manifested before them. And we have the same thing today, but by the grace of God, we trust we will not be a part of those who are so foreign to the truth that we can't even hear Brother Branham say, I am not oneness and I am not Trinity. I stand in between. We do not believe in oneness. We do not believe in the three. Neither do we have two gods. I want to ask you a question. Is your Jesus that you claim died for you just a myth? Is he no longer at the right hand of God? Or as they say, and I say comatose, or he's comatose, doesn't matter. Usually I make it into some kind of a verb, and they make it an adjective, which it is. Just ask the question. Where is he? What happened to the lamb? Was he indeed a lamb? It doesn't say God the Lamb. It says Lamb of God. There's something peculiar to me. If I were to change my doctrine, my understanding, I would tell you, look, folk, I don't know what to tell you except I bamboozled you, not wittingly, but nonetheless you're bamboozled. I led you to a trap, not wittingly, but I can tell you one thing. Ain't no such thing as Jesus only. Because the prophet said so. Ain't no such thing as Trinity. Then what thing is there? Huh? Tell me.
Yep.
Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.